Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I noticed this with Anthony. You guys don't seem to understand how this is supposed to work, okay? When someone says Merry Christmas to you, you're supposed to respond with the same amount of enthusiasm with which they say it. Okay, so let's try this again. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, you're getting a little bit better. Let's try one more time. Merry Christmas. Excellent. We're getting there. We're getting there. As we come into today, we want to celebrate Christmas with all that we have. And I know as we kick this off, for some of you here with us for the first time, you're thinking, man, this guy's a little over the top excited. If you come another Sunday, you realize I'm not really that way. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. At the beginning of this month, my third son turned 3 years old. And my wife loves to make a big deal out of birthdays. Loves to make a big deal out of birthdays. My budget doesn't appreciate it that much, but she loves to make a big deal out of birthdays. And as I watched her make a big deal out of my son's birthday, and I watched the way that he felt loved, I watched the way that he felt special, I watched the way that he felt cared for, and the way that that happened, I thought to myself, man, I want to do that for the one who saved my life. I want to do that for the one who saved my life. So I decided coming into this Christmas season, man, I was going to celebrate it the way it deserved to be celebrated. And we have this unique opportunity with Christmas to be able to communicate to Jesus how special he is to us, how loved he is by us, and the way in which we celebrate it. And I believe that just like my son, as we're making a big deal out of his birthday and he felt loved, I believe we have an opportunity to do that for Jesus. And so we want to do that. We want to be excited about Christmas. We want to make a big deal out of Christmas. We want to celebrate it with everything that we have as we walk into this together. And if you haven't been with us, let me just really quickly introduce myself. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And we have been in the midst of an exciting conversation as we've moved through the month of December and as we prepared for Christmas. And we've been looking at this really powerful truth that Christmas is all about becoming a child again. And all of us have experienced, as we watch children enjoy Christmas, all of us have experienced that moment where we think to ourselves, man, I wish I could enjoy life that way again. I wish I could enjoy Christmas that way again. I wish I could get that excited about something again. And we've been looking at how Christmas reveals this in us, but the truth is it's always there. There's this deep craving within us to get back what has been lost, to get back what has been lost. And we realize, man, I wish I could enjoy life the way I once did. I wish I could laugh the way I once did. I wish I could trust the way I once did. But when you grow up, when you grow up in a world where there's so much brokenness and the pain and all of the different things that we encounter, it takes from us the ability to be able to do that. But there's this longing inside of us that says, man, I wish I could get that back. I wish, even for just a moment, if I could just enjoy life that way, even just for a moment. And we've been looking at how we have this longing, but then at the same time looking at this amazing way in which the mission of Christmas is all about that. That Jesus is stepping into our story and stepping into our lives and saying, I want to restore. I want to restore in your life what has been lost, what has been broken. I want to restore your ability to be able to love. I want to restore your ability to be able to trust. I want to restore your ability to be able to enjoy. I want to restore. And as we begin the series, he talked about how he's restoring our ability to be able to engage family again and love in family and be a part of family, enjoy his family and this unique thing that he's creating with his family. Last week, we talked about how he wants to take from us those things that we were never created to carry, those weights that we walk around with that we were never created to carry. And how so much of what he's doing in this restoration process, it allows us to be able to come to him. As a matter of fact, the very relationship that he says he wants to have with us above all other relationships is the relationship of a father and a child. He says, this is the life I want for you to experience, that I'm your father. Then you get to be able to move through this as my kids, that you get to become a child again. I'm restoring those things in your heart. The very mission at the core of Christmas is this restoration process, that we could get back what has been lost. As a matter of fact, the very moment, the very event of Christmas is trying to come against one of those things in our lives that brings the most destruction. The very event of Christmas is attacking one of the things in our lives that we begin to cling to as we grow up in this world of pain and destruction that brings incredible destruction into our lives. And God wants to be able to free us from that. He wants to be able to pull us out of that. And he does so even with the very event of Christmas. Because you see, we live in a world where we crave glory. There's something inside of us that wants glory. Now, we don't say it that way. No one says to another person, I want you to glorify me. No one says that. If you say that, that's weird. You should stop saying that. You probably don't have any friends. But no one says that. But we say it this way. I want to be respected. I want to be honored. We look and talk about things like status. There's something inside of us that longs for other people to want to be us. That longs for people to make a big deal out of us. Social media didn't create this. It just simply gives us an opportunity to see it in ourselves. It gives us an outlet for it. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of social media that's about connecting and connecting with other people and all of those things, but there's a huge amount of social media that has nothing to do with connection at all. You do not post a picture of your meal to connect with another person. You don't. You don't grow closer to another person in any way, shape, or form, outside of maybe this way. You might get a little, but you're not getting closer to that. It's not about connection. You don't post a picture of your feet pointed towards a beach to connect with people. No, you post it. And as you're posting it, you're thinking to yourself, ah, you sucker, sitting at a desk somewhere. You wish you were me. Don't you? We all think it. And then as those likes start to come in, we're like, yeah, I knew you do want to be me. There's something inside of us that says, man, I want, and here's the thing. We would never say it this way, but here's the truth of it. We want to be envied. We want to be envied. We want people to make a big deal of us. We want to be important. We want for people to think that we're important. And we go to great lengths to achieve that and to find it. As a matter of fact, there aren't many things in our culture that we want more than comfort. We want comfort. We idolize comfort. We think that comfort will give us so much life. But here's the thing. This will show you just how important this is in our culture. We actually want glory more than we want comfort. There are very few things in our culture that trump comfort. But we actually want to be a big deal more than we want comfort. You know, there's one item in our culture that proves that this is true. It would not exist if this were not true. You know what that item is? The high-heeled shoe. The high-heeled shoe proves that we want to be made a big deal of. We want to be envied. We want to be wanted more than we care about comfort. If we cared about comfort more than honor, the high-heeled shoe would no longer exist. Every woman in this room knows that it's right. Every man, if you don't agree with me, you just go home and put on high-heeled shoes. Don't tell anyone that you did that. We want it. And we actually go to great lengths to achieve it and to find it. We'll sacrifice unbelievable things to get it. And if we feel that someone or something is threatening it, the destruction that it brings is almost unparalleled. So many of the broken relationships in our lives are because of the fact that we cling to respect, honor. You can put whatever word you want to it. The Bible talks about it in two ways. It talks about the fact that, and the way that, this is, again, another word we would never use, but here's the word that really captures it best, what we want. We want to be worshipped. We want to be worshipped. And on the surface, you may say, no. Just give yourself a second to sit with it. It's true. The scriptures call it the pride of life. We want to be worshipped. It isn't something new. It isn't something new. As a matter of fact, it's been around since the very beginning. It's the first thing that we chose over God. The first lie that we believed was, if you just take that piece of fruit, you can be a God too. You can be like Him. You can be worshipped the way that He's worshipped. And we made the decision that rather than valuing God's love, rather than valuing this incredible relationship that we have with God, we made the decision that rather than valuing that, we wanted to be worshipped. And we have been making that decision over and over and over and over again ever since. We make it in our relationship with God. We make it in our relationship with one another. And so rather than choosing to love and to be loved, we choose, no, I want to be worshipped. And we sacrifice those that we love for status and honor, respect, we wouldn't say it, but glory. Because there's something in us that says that life is found. Life is found in being worshipped. But then there's Christmas. But then, there's Christmas. And like I said, even the very event of Christmas, even the way that Christmas happens, is God working to free us from the things that would destroy us. Because you look at the event of Christmas, and that Christmas morning, as Jesus steps into our story, the one who deserved the most honor, the one who deserved the most glory, the one who deserved more than anyone else to be worshipped, the one who deserved that thing that we so clamor for, that we run over each other for, that we sacrifice each other for, the one who deserved that more than anyone else, the one who deserved the honor more than anyone else, comes in the most dishonoring way. The one who deserved the most honor comes in the most dishonoring way. Luke 2, 6 through 7, it says, while they were there, it's talking about Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. It says, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we love to create these cute mangers. We love to create these cute nativity scenes. We love to take this and turn it into a fairy tale. We love to rewrite the story in our own way because our minds can't actually compute what actually happened. And so we create these nativity scenes that look so welcoming and so beautiful. Many of you have them in your home. If you're a parent, you might have one like me. It's made with little people. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. And you look at it, and it's so warm, and it's so inviting. And there's this beautiful donkey there, and he's so nice. There's this camel all cuddled up in the corner. You know what camels do to people when they get upset? They spit on them. But this camel's not like that. This camel's a nice camel, and he's all cuddled up in the corner, and then you see the cuddly sheep, and you want to be there. You look at the nativity scene, you're like, man, I want to be born there. Let me tell you something, okay? I have three sons. I have been there at the birth of all three of my sons. Let me tell you something about when a person gives birth. There is nothing cuddly or beautiful or warm about it. It is bloody, and it is ugly, and it is scary. And then just imagine for a second that you're in a barn. It's not even a barn, really, because historians say it would have been a cave, okay? So you're in a cave. Now not only are you in a cave, but you're in a cave with all these animals. And I know, for those of us who live in the city, we think of animals, we imagine a petting zoo. It's very calm, it's very kind. Okay, this wasn't a petting zoo. This was a real farmer's cave, okay? These animals weren't like nice, oh, domesticated animals. Look at the pet the goat. No. This was a real farmer's cave. This thing would have been insane. Things are running around different places. Things are all over the place. And you know what you find there? You look at the nativity scenes we create. It's all like nice, fresh hay, straw, all that. No. That's not the way it would have been. Everything would have been covered in crap. Everything. Believe me, I grew up on a farm. I'm telling you, what we create is nothing like reality. And then she laid him in a manger. Oh, that's so cute. Right? Like, oh, I'd like to build my kid's bed out of some reclaimed wood to make it look like a manger. It's so cute. It's so in today. No, this is something that animals are eating out of every day. You know what it's covered in? Slobber. The thing is sticky and gooey and disgusting. And there's still food in there that they haven't been able to get out. It's probably been in there for a long time. We do this so often with the scriptures, don't we? We read through it, we're not honest about it, and we miss the message of it. You know what word would have captured the moment best? Just for a second, put yourself there. Because here's the thing. You wouldn't wish this on your worst enemy. If your worst enemy were having a child, you wouldn't wish this on them. To be born in that kind of situation, I mean, come on, be honest about it. Some of you as parents, you wouldn't even let another person touch your kid for the first year without Pirelling from head to toe. And now he's being born in this situation. What are the chances that he's even going to survive? You know what word would have captured the moment perfectly? Terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. The most undignified, most unglorious situation you could possibly imagine. The one who deserved the most honor comes in a way that none of us would even wish on our worst enemy. He comes in the most dishonoring way you could possibly imagine. He comes and he gives up all the glory and he gives up all the honor and he gives up all the status. Because he wanted something else. He wanted you. Philippians chapter 2 says it this way. It says, who, and he's talking about Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He gave up everything that we clamor for. He gave up everything that we sacrifice each other for. He gave up everything that we believe will give us life. Because more than the glory and more than the honor, more than the status, he wanted you. And he wanted you to know that all of the stuff you're living for, it's not worth it. All the stuff you're clamoring for, he had it. But he gave it up. The one who deserved the most honor comes in the most dishonoring way. And then not only that, he lives his life, and the one who deserved the most honor dies the most dishonoring death. The cross was reserved for the scum of the earth. The cross was reserved for those who didn't even deserve dignity in death. It wasn't a mistake that he came that way. And it wasn't a mistake that he died that way. It was him stepping into our lives and turning our value system upside down and saying, this thing that you keep clinging to and this thing that you keep clamoring for, it's not worth it. Life isn't found there. And the truth is, we should know that. Even when we look at our culture, we should know that. Look at those who are worshipped the most. Whether it's a CEO or it's a celebrity, look at those who are worshipped the most. Are they the most alive? We watch them destroy themselves over and over and over again. You know why? Because they've hit the pinnacle of worship. And you know what they've found? It is lacking. And they know that they're loved. And they know that they're respected. And people make a big deal out of them all the time. But here's what else they know. And that is this. They're not loved. We think that to be worshipped and to be loved is the same. It's not. And for those who are worshipped, they know it better than anyone else. All these people, they worship me, but they do not love me. And Jesus on Christmas morning comes and says, this thing that you're clamoring for, this thing that you keep running over each other for, this thing that you're sacrificing your life for, it is lacking. But what you want and what you actually crave is what I'm here to give you, which is love. Love. You're giving up people to get honor. I'm going to give up honor to get people. He came in the way that he came to change the way in which we see the whole world. He came in the way that he came, and he died in the way that he died to change our entire value system and to free us from the rat race of trying to be envied, worshipped, and respected. And to provide us in its place that which we actually crave, that which actually brings life, which is his love. And I know for some of you, you're here and you've been told your whole life that in order to be loved by him, that you have to live up to a certain status, or you have to achieve a certain amount of things, or you have to keep the rules, whatever it may be. So I just want to clear the air on that, because I want for you to know that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, that God's love is available to you today. I want to take you to Romans chapter 3. It says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. He says, now God's made a new way for us to be made right with him. It doesn't have anything to do with status or keeping the rules or living up to a certain expectation. He says, no, it actually doesn't have anything to do with that at all. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. He says, you're not brought back to God. You're not reconciled to God. You're not brought back into this relationship with God by keeping the rules. He says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. All of us have chosen worship over him. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Jesus came into the world in the way that he did, and he died in the way that he did to undermine the very way we see the entire world around us. He says, this thing that you're living for is destroying you. It's destroying you. And you're never going to be able to truly live if you keep pursuing it. And I'm not just going to come and tell you this. I'm going to demonstrate it for you. I'm going to willingly give it up. And in its place, I'm going to give you the opportunity to find what will actually bring you life, which is his love. As long as you continue to clamor for honor, you will always be lacking, and you will always need more, and you will always want more. It will never end. You'll never be able to enjoy the life for which you were created. It will never end. It will go on and on and on and on and on and on. But if you switch from pursuing that which cannot satisfy to the love that Jesus came to give you when he gave his life for you on that cross, you will find that all of it is available to you right now. You will not be lacking in any way, shape, or form. this Christmas, this Christmas, leave beneath the tree the honor and the glory, the position and the status. Leave beneath the tree all that you've been clamoring for, this thing that has destroyed so many of the relationships in your life. Leave it beneath the tree and take from the tree his love. The incredible gift of his love. The incredible gift of the value that it has given you. This value that you're trying to find in other people. Look at what he gave up for you. Not just the fact that he gave up his life. Look at the glory and the honor that he gave up for you. It seals forever your value, your worth, your significance. This Christmas, he's given us a chance to let go of the thing that keeps us from being able to enjoy life. Let it go. It's not worth it. Let it go. And let us follow in his footsteps. Let us become the ones who give up honor, who give up glory, who give up wanting to be wanted and envied and all that. Let us be the ones who give that up so that we can love the way that he's loved us. And may we once again move through Christmas with an unquenchable joy, because we know what he gave up for us, the way that he loved us. And we know that we do not have to continue to live with that weight of honoring ourselves anymore. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You can let it go. And allow yourself to be filled with his unbelievable love. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that today, as we talk through this, I pray for those who are here. I pray for those who are here who, for the first time, are hearing that they have the opportunity to be able to step into your love. For the first time, are hearing what you gave up for them. Father, I pray that this amazing way in which you came, this amazing way in which you gave your life, I pray that it would break down the barriers today, that they would allow themselves to be wrapped in your love, that they would accept that you did this for them. And Father, I pray for those of us who've accepted this before, but we're continuing to clamor for honor, and we're continuing to make much of ourselves instead of loving well. Father, we repent of the fact that we've loved poorly in our pursuit of being worshipped. We ask you to forgive us. We want to walk in your footsteps, to come behind you and to do exactly what you did for us, to cast aside any ambition of honoring ourselves, to allow you to take care of the honor and to live lives of love, to value people more than worship. Father, may that be true of us this Christmas. Father, I thank you that you've given us the ability to come alive, that you're restoring in us the ability to once again enjoy, that you're taking from us those things that hold us back, that weigh us down. Merry Christmas, Jesus. Merry Christmas. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.